Good morning and welcome here to St Columba's Deira Volghi in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. It's great to join you this morning as we come together to worship as a community of believers, people who have placed a trust, a hope, a faith in a Lord and a King and a God who is alive today. My name is James. I'll be leading us through the service, and other people will be contributing today as we carry through for the next number of moments. As we begin often within our tradition, we start with a piece of scripture. That's a wonderful moment where God's word is read over us. Something is released in us as we hear an eternal and living word that's released for us today. This morning it comes from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. That's where our trust and our hope comes from today as we join together. And so as we gather at this time of illness and infection, of isolation, of fear, of uncertainty, we are mindful of those who are sick, those who are weighed down by pain, distress, loneliness, or maybe anxiety. Those who care for them, conscious of the risks that they bear, and all who have a responsibility for public health and social order. Pray that the cry of the afflicted may be heard and that they may be comforted, so that all who suffer may come to know that they are joined to the sufferings of Christ, who gave his life for the salvation of the world, for you, for me. And we pray that the Lord's blessing will be on them and on those who care for them, may be restored according to his will, to the soundness of body, of mind, and of spirit, that we might offer our joyful thanks to the Lord in this moment. Mindful that his very near and close presence brings with it all that we need. To be in his presence is our desire. A part, and the important part of that, as we draw into the Lord's presence, often in the pages of Scripture, that is called holy ground, a place where Moses took off his sandals, a place where David fell face down, a place in Revelation where it tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And so it's important that we confess before him, where we stand before him this morning. We have a simple penitential confession this morning. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So may the Father forgive us and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. We use the psalm appointed for today, which is Psalm 111. It's all the ones today. Don't know what that calling name is, but it's all the ones today. We'll say this by alternate first. Please join in with us at home, because actually this is important. It's really, really important, because as I've said at the beginning of this service, as I read words of Scripture over you, there's a power in that. But as you read this together, as we read this together in our homes, scattered across this parish and much further afield this morning, there is power as God's word is recited together, no matter where we are. We'll say it by alternate verse. So praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who know his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. A first 10 that we've just said together. Wonderful, that first phrase. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Which of us doesn't want to be a little bit more wise than what we currently are at the moment? This puts the Lord in his place, in his rightful place. Not that we put him in a box, but that we give him his rightful place. And in that moment where we fear him, not scared, but where we fear him in the sense of reverence and awe, wisdom begins to come through our door. Now, I don't know about you, but one of my favourite seasons of the year is spring. There's always a great debate, you can Google it, I suppose, but when does spring actually begin? Does it begin whenever on a specific date, or does it begin whenever we see nature coming back to life? And if you've been out for your walks recently, you'll begin to see that nature is coming back to life. There's small buds on some of the trees. Snowdrops, crocuses are beginning to come again. A bit like this little boy here, or a hyacinth that we have in our house. Kind of went dead over the winter. All the green shoots disappeared off it, and all you were left with was a dead and dry bulb. But now the green shoots are beginning. And hopefully, in a few weeks' time, months' time, we'll have flowers that look like this. Beautiful pink flowers. Now, the smell that comes from them, the fragrance that comes from them, is almost overwhelming and overpowering. They are so, so strong. But you know, sometimes we look at things and we think they're dead, but actually God breathes new life back into them. In a few moments, we're going to hear another part of the story of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream of a great and magnificent tree that's been cut down. But in this dream, as the stump is cut down, it comes back to life. A new shoot comes out of it. Maybe whenever you've been out for a walk in a forest, you've seen a tree has fallen over, but it's continued to grow. Maybe you've noticed that a stump has got a new shoot coming out of it. The snowdrops, the daffodils, the crocuses, the hyacinths are all coming back to life. They've pushed up through the hard soil. A new life is coming. There is still hope. So no matter what your circumstance today, let's hope in the Lord that he alone can turn things around as we trust him, as we place our wisdom and our faith in him. So we're going to hear God's word read for us now.
Today's reading is taken from Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a tree. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is at an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for them." The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you to Julie for reading that for us today. We continue our series, Faith Under Fire, this story of Daniel. And if you have a Bible to hand, that would be fantastic if you're able to have that today. Because again, these chapters are long chapters, and so we kind of jump and move through different verses. And so it's great to be able to follow that. So if you have a Bible, I'd love you to put your hands on us in this moment. But you see, so far we've seen that whenever they stood firm, they looked up and they walked with God, things started to happen. That we don't have to be stuck or feel overwhelmed or believe that things can't change. We can trust him because he is the revealer of mysteries. He walks with us in times of trouble, no matter how hot the furnace seems to be for us. He is with us. And so today we look at this theme of heaven rules. Heaven rules. We can see from this story that King Nebuchadnezzar, King Neb, is one of those people who ebbs and flows in his relationship with God. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever found yourself in that place where sometimes you feel that you're really, really close to God, and other times that you're farther away from him? That sense of ebbing and flowing in a relationship, that toing and froing. Look at verse 2. King Nebuchadnezzar says, "It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation." But yet it seems as if he's not actually relying on God. Those words, in one sense, paint a wonderful picture that he is so close to God that he has given God his rightful place. But yet it seems as if he's not relying totally on God. Now, I'm going to read verse 4 to try to explain that. "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous." He was contented and prosperous. Historians. And as we read through the rest of this chapter, as we read through the whole story in the big picture, we can see that King Nebuchadnezzar would have flowed really close, in one sense, to the Lord, and then ebbed away again. Ebbed away back into his own pride, into his own prosperity, and into his own authority as the ruler of the superpower of the day. How does he need anyone else? How does he even need a God? In fact, in this culture, the king was God himself, and people were expected to worship him. You've seen that in the great statue, didn't we? But I'm encouraged, actually, from some of King Nebuchadnezzar's story, because as King Nebuchadnezzar ebbs and flows in his relationship, he constantly wants to talk it out with other people. Not that he was micromanaging everybody in a sense. But what I perceive he was doing was, things are happening. He feels as if he's falling away from God. And what's his first reaction? He calls people around him who he thinks could help him get back on track again, who could interpret for him what's going on around him. He doesn't want to do life on his own, even though he is prosperous and contented. He wants to have other people around him. I wonder, is there something that I need to do, that we need to have other people around us, that we need, maybe we feel as if we've ebbed away a little bit from the Lord and we want to flow back to him, and so we need the encouragement, the support and the advice of other people to help us do that. Find a believer, someone who you can trust, who will pray through with you to do those things today. But this dream, because this is what this reading, this chapter is about, it's about this dream. A great big tree, so magnificent, span is so huge, all the birds of the air can sit on it. But it was to be cut down, and time is to pass by, actually seven times is to pass by. Let's jump forward from where we finished our reading today into verse 22 for a moment. It says, "You, O king, are that tree," because Daniel is now called. All the magicians and sorcerers of the day have been called and they can't answer it. And so Daniel has come to interpret the king's dream. Now, what we have seen about Daniel is certainly this. He doesn't hold back whenever he comes before the king, the most powerful man in the world, and Daniel doesn't hold back from him. That's really important. It's really important for maybe those of us who are in a position where people have come to ask us to pray through things or for advice on things or to seek the Lord on things. Not that we place our own opinions in there, but that we seek the Lord and that we speak frankly and openly and that others will be able to receive that as well. See, Daniel says, "You," in verse 22, "you, O king, are that tree." Now, remember, this is a great, magnificent, mighty, great big tree. Span, all the birds are sitting in it. And it's cut down, it's felled, it's gone. Daniel turns to him and says, "You're the tree, king. You are going to be cut down." Now, I wonder what King Nebuchadnezzar's facial expression was at that point. I wonder how much fear and trembling Daniel may have come into the king's presence, knowing what he had to say. But he said it nonetheless. "You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reached the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound by iron and bronze.'" What Daniel's saying to the king is, "O king, you are going to be humbled. Everything that you have is going to be stripped away from you." Actually, if you read on in this chapter, verses 32 and verse 33, we see that everything indeed comes true. The prophecy of this dream is fulfilled, and King Nebuchadnezzar has everything stripped away from him, and he walks into a period of mental anguish. Listen to verse 32. "You'll be driven away from people and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle, and seven times will pass by until you have acknowledged that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom's men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and he ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird." Nebuchadnezzar was in so much anguish that he had completely forgotten about everything that was going on around him. Maybe that's where you're finding yourself today. Maybe you're finding yourself that you're caring for or looking after someone who isn't going through a period of anguish. Know that the Lord is close. Know that the Lord says, even though it appears that this tree has been cut down just to a stump, it will return. There is hope. It can and will be restored. See, the stump was left. We find that in verse 25 and 26. But there is hope. There is hope. New life can come out of what seems to be total despair. God can restore what is broken, and he can restore you. And the key to that restoration, and once found here in this story, the key to the restoration of King Nebuchadnezzar is found in verse 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. And I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. And he goes on with a doxology of how great God is. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven. He looked up. I wonder, do you need to look up today? Preachers included in that question. Do I need to look up? Just like King Nebuchadnezzar, do we need to humble ourselves, declaring that God alone is King of me, of the world, of absolutely everything? Because actually, that's the key to this whole passage, this chapter. Look at verse 27. Therefore, O King, be pleased to accept my advice. This is Daniel's advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. We are to humble ourselves before the Lord in the knowledge that he alone is sovereign. And often whenever we speak about God being sovereign, we think that he is sovereign up there, in the ether somewhere, in a place that we can't see or touch. God's sovereignty is not just up there, it is down here as well. His sovereignty is everywhere. And he desires that we acknowledge that we give him his rightful place. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isn't that what we recited together in our psalm today? See, God's sovereignty is spilled right the way through this chapter. We see it in verse 17. Living and know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone. We see it in verse 25. That the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives it to everyone. We see it in verse 32. That the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to everyone he wishes. See, this chapter is about the sovereignty of God, but is also a deeply personal story of a conversion. A deeply personal story of a converted life. Look at verse 1. Look how it all starts. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world. This is a letter, in a sense, written to the world. This is the leader of the superpower of the day. And he's writing a letter to everyone else, and he's saying, this is my story. God is sovereign. Even the great King Nebuchadnezzar, the one who ebbed and flowed in a relationship with God, had a great personal conversion story to tell. There were moments in his life where God stepped in and where he saw things differently. A moment where he realized what is important and who is in control. Can you say that today? Can you say you have the same kind of story? Can you say you have a story today? Because the cross behind me tells a story all of its own. A story where you are invited to join God's big story. A story where he reaches out with love, with grace, with care, with compassion, and invites you in with forgiveness and with grace and with mercy. That we look up, that we humble ourselves, we give God a rightful place, and we invite his presence to be so close to us that he dwells within us As the scriptures say, he that dwells in you is greater than he that dwells in the world. No matter what is being thrown at us, the one who dwells in us is greater. That's why we can have hope that rises out of what seems to be dead today. What's your story? Are you ebbing? Are you flowing? Are you far away? Are you close? Do you know the Lord's Spirit upon you today, calling you to be his child, his son, or his daughter? It's never too late. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you invite us to be a part of your story, a story that will continue with or without us. But thank you that you've issued the invitation to us. Help us to see you clearly today, to walk with you, to look up, to humble ourselves, giving you your rightful, sovereign place in our lives and in the situations around us. Amen. Sarah continues to lead us in prayer.
This morning I am standing outside Harmony Hill Primary School, and in our prayers this morning we're going to be focusing on praying for those teachers, for pupils who are learning from home, and also from parents who are homeschooling. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are our hope in the midst of a changing world. We thank you that you are unchanging, that you remain the same today, yesterday, and forever. Lord, we pray that our hope would be firmly rooted in you at this time. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to be one of us, to be with us in earth. But not only just to be with us, but to be our teacher, to show us the way to go, the path to follow in life. And so we pray for all our teachers across the world today. Lord, we pray that whether they are in the classroom or whether they're at home organising work to be sent to pupils, that you would be with them, that you would sustain them and encourage them in the task that you have given them to do. We pray also for pupils as they sort out their work every day. Lord, we pray that you would give them energy, that you would give them excitement to get their work done, but also to encourage their teachers in what they do for them. As they miss their friends, Lord, we pray that they would know that you are their friend, that you are close by. Although they are distant from their friends now, that you are very much near. Lord, we also pray for parents at home who are juggling working and homeschooling. We pray that you would be near to them, that you would help them manage. Lord, we pray that you would give them a sense of your peace, a sense that you are with them, that you will carry them through. We also pray for pupils and staff in special needs education who are still very much operating in an environment where it is difficult to socially distance. Lord, we pray that you would be close to them, that you would be their comfort, that as they go to work each day, as the pupils go to school each day, that you would be their protector. Lord, we also pray for those who are grieving, as this week in the UK we hit the 100,000 milestone of those who have lost their lives due to COVID. We pray knowing that each number is a family, each number is a person who you created in their mother's womb. We pray for their families and their friends, knowing that you are close to them, that you will dry every tear in the months and years ahead. Lord, we pray for all those in our parish who are grieving, whether it be recent or whether it be many years ago. Lord, we pray that they would know you as their comfort, as their sustainer. So Lord, as we go about our everyday, whatever that may entail, We pray that we would know that you're close by. We pray that our faith would be firmly in you, and we would know that you are the hope for whatever it is to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
A few very, very quick things just as we close up today. Our youth and our children continue online at their normal times. If you need any information about that, please do get in contact. Our life groups continue on a Wednesday night, where we take what we do on a Sunday a little bit deeper, and we break out into smaller rooms on Zoom, so we can be able to have conversations and wriggle it through a little bit more. If you find out more information about that, give me a shout, that'll be great. Our next edition of our magazine is due out very soon, so if you have an article for it, please get it to Rona by next Sunday. It's Sunday the 7th of February. An organisation that's very close to our hearts here in Derevulgi is called SAM, South American Missionary Society. They're having their annual event, Friday Night Live, this Friday. We'll put more information about that up on our Facebook page this week, to give you links and so forth to join in with that. But I'd love you if you're able to do that and support the work of SAMS and, of course, Stephen as well. We finish today with our collect for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Creator God, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you, may he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Stay safe and stay connected.